Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
I see myself, and I guess a lot of the people listening right now are seeing themselves as rockets, you know, just like shooting rockets. And really going fast, right? We're entrepreneurs. We love to go fast, you know, and work hard and hustle. And you know, sometimes that rocket, it needs a little guidance, just like a little left, a little to the right, right, in order to hit the target. And I saw Calvin as that guidance. So
that's Sagi Schreiber, our special guest today, coming at us from Israel, talking about how he bailed himself out of $50,000 in debt by taking massive action and hiring a coach to help them do that. So I kind of dissect why he did that, why he hired a coach, even though he was in debt, and what that coach did for him, and the things that he's doing now to build this amazing community in the design space and also the entrepreneurial space to help us. And we also get into a little bit of design because that's his specialty. He is what's known as a full stack designer. That's a designer who also knows how to get results for better sales and higher conversion numbers and those kinds of things. So stick around. We got a great episode today. We're going to talk about leading a full stack life. Keep that in mind. It's a great term that Sagi taught me. And make sure you subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Just pull out the device before you stick it back in your pocket. Hit subscribe because we got a lot of stuff coming your way. And right now, you got the intro. Here we go.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. He's got a voiceover guy who knows more things about him than most people do. Pat Flynn.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk. You can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UPLIFT desk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order.
What's up, guys? Pat Flynn here. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you are not familiar with me or the show, we're here to help you make more money, save more time, and help more people too. And we do that through a number of different ways, like inviting amazing guests who have some incredible stories to share and a lot of strategies and tips to help you in your business too. And today, like I said, we're talking with Sigi Schreiber. And so I already told you what this is about. So let's just dive right in. Also, make sure you pay attention because at the end, we're going to talk about some special things that he has for you, including an amazing Facebook community called Mindful and Ruthless, a tribe of like-minded doers. And if you're a doer, you might want to get involved with that too. So let's just dive right in. Here we go. Sigi Schreiber. Sigi, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to the SPI podcast. How are you doing?
Oh man, I'm super great. Thanks so much, Pat, for having me.
I've been really excited for this. You know, I got to see you in person and meet you just briefly at one of the meetups I had in San Diego. I also know you met, you know, a lot of people there, Chris Ducker, John Lee Dumas. And, you know, you had talked about really quick when you met me there, how you were this designer, you were the head designer for Fiverr for a while and just really impressive. But what really kind of why I want you on the show is because not just because of your design capabilities. Well, and make sure you stick around. We're going to talk about design principles and all those kinds of things.
Oh, for sure.
For everybody, no matter what level you're at, but mainly your story. It really intrigued me. How did you get to where you're at today? Give us the kind of rundown. It's kind of a really up and down journey for you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I've like, to anybody who doesn't know me, so I was a designer. I'm from Israel originally, and here it's kind of like startup nation. So it's like very easy to get into the startup world here. And coming up as a designer, as soon as I finished my design school, I launched a local blog in Hebrew called Pixel Perfect Magazine. And I launched that blog half a year later. I was already known getting asked for public speaking gigs here in Israel, and I got the offer from Fiverr to come and be their first on-site designer. I was starting my way like that. And after Fiverr I left, I decided I want to have my own startup. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. I joined a couple people. We were founders of a startup called Multa, got accepted to Upwest Labs in Palo Alto and flew over there to the Silicon Valley and had this like old Silicon Valley vibe, you know, scene. And I was really intrigued also by the scene over there, the people there, all the designers in the Silicon Valley are so kind of like, they're thinking big, you know, they're really connected to technology and to everything that's going on. So I said to myself, you know, being with this local blog and all, it's great. But and I was already kind of making like a little bit of passive income. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to have more value and actually get more value out of the international community. So when we got back to Israel after that 4-month journey, where we, by the way, pivoted and created a new startup from scratch, like the same team, new startup. I opened, along with one of my partners, an international design blog called HackingUI.com. And that blog is what eventually led me to leaving my day job. But before that, our startup got acquired by SimilarWeb. So I guess some people probably hearing this know SimilarWeb. It's an online tool to find out, you know, the traffic of your competitors and such. Our startup was doing kind of something similar. So they acquired us and we started working there. And over there, I led the design team and actually created a design team because I started as a first designer on site and we were 50 people. By the time I left, we were 250 people and, wow. And I was managing a seven people team. Like I basically hired seven designers, managed them. And, in order to learn, how to manage them, because I didn't know anything about managing, I started a podcast where, I interviewed like VPs and director of designs from companies like Facebook, Airbnb, Etsy, Intercom, and all sorts of amazing companies from Silicon Valley and in general. And that's how I learned to manage. And that podcast gave me so much strength. And I started listening to other podcasts. And that's how I got to your podcast, Pat.
Oh, cool. So, yeah. I mean, this sounds incredible. I mean, it sounds like you were living the dream. I mean, coming out of design school, it seems like everything was perfect.
Yeah, so you know, in one hand, everything was kind of perfect. But then, you know, I had my two side projects, we were my two blogs, and both of them were starting to make money. And especially Hacking UI, we had sponsors, like crazy sponsors. And you know, as soon as I got to start to make money, and I was like listening to your podcast about everybody who kind of like, you know, left their day jobs, and that's your story as well, you know? Mm-hmm. And I also kind of like saw the money coming in passively, you know, just like you go to sleep at one night and you write an email to a sponsor saying, how about like $5,000 for something that, you know, on my end is almost no work at all, just like putting their logo somewhere. And then you wake up the next morning and it's like, oh, $5,000 in the make. I'm like, what? You know, and I work in the startup world, you know, and I had two kids by then already, mm-hmm. and a mortgage. And I was really working hard, like startup life, like anybody who's working at a startup knows how hard it is to, and how demanding, you know, it's like, and I barely saw my kids, and I was working very hard. I wasn't doing any exercise. You know, my life was not run by me in a way. Although it was, because I was running two, you know, side projects simultaneously, but still, it was not that I was in full control. And then I read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. Mm-hmm. And that really also influenced me. And I said, at one point, my partner and I were looking at the numbers and we're like, so the first year of our side project, we made $6,000, which is nice. The second year of our side project in Hacking UI, we made $66,000, which is like, for us, it was like, whoa, you know, what a growth that was. And then I wrote an article about it, got tons of traction from that article. And then I noticed the power. I'm like, wait, maybe I can do this full time. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of people were like, wow, this is inspiring. You made me open up my own blog. And I'm like, what? So I'm inspiring people by telling my story about opening blogs and, you know, running them and making money off of that. And I'm making passive income and the numbers are growing. Why don't I leave my full-time job and do that full-time? So that's the part where I decided to leave my day job.
Was that an easy decision for you or was that a hard decision?
So a lot of people ask me, why was I so crazy to do that? Because I had no runway. We just got the apartment like a year before, the new apartment that we're living in. And so I ran out of all the savings that I had. I had no savings. And I have two kids. My wife was not working because we decided as a move towards her fulfillment in life, that she would quit her job and go back to studying and finishing her degree that she stopped when the first our first daughter was born. Mm. And then we kind of like, I managed to do this, to make this decision just by saying, I'm committing first, I'm carrying out later. And that's something that really kind of led me throughout my whole career, especially with the blogs. It's when I want to do something, I commit first and then I make it work. So I call it the commit first, carry out later principle. And then later on, I heard you talking about it. And then later on, I heard Grant Cardone talking about it, all these mega influencers. And I'm like, okay, so I must be doing something right. but I left with no guarantee. And I was afraid that I was, you know, going down and would find myself in the street like a couple months later. Because we had no idea where we were going to get the money from. We just said if we make 66K as a side project, if we both leave our day jobs and like my partner and I and focus on it full time, can we make 200K? And that's a decent salary for like two people. Like it's high tech salaries.
Right.
So we did that and just like we knew we had 2 months of runway, but that's all. And the trouble came soon. I mean, we had no way to make money. We launched a few like really great online courses, like I called it the Side Project Accelerator. And it was online program. We brought in a lot of mega influencers to have private sessions with our members. And but you know, all this launch, it's the first launch of our that we ever did, based on a lot of the tips that we heard on your podcast. But still, it's our first launch and we made only 10K. And 10K is like 5K for each, right? It's not even like a monthly salary. Mm-hmm. And that was like 2 or 3 months of work. And then we find ourselves in a situation where we're, you know, running a business. And for 6 months, I couldn't pull one dime out of the business for my own sake. So I did not have a salary for 6 months. And then
wait a second. So you said you had a 2 month runway and then you weren't making money for 6 months. Like what was life like during that time? I mean, you had two kids and a wife, and I mean,
yeah.
What was going through your mind at that point? Did you ever regret leaving your job at that point?
Oh man, that's an amazing question. So thanks for asking that. I mean, I can say that, you know, even back then, I remember the struggle and I remember people asking me, so do you regret doing this move and leaving your day job? And I'm like, I would not regret it for the world. And the thing I said to myself before I left my day job is, if I leave my job right now, and I know I have 2 months of, you know, working on Hacking UI full time, and just like working on my baby, you know, just like 2 months, like building my own dream, and if after those 2 months it fails miserably and I have to go back and find a job, then I would know that I had 2 months of working and trying to build out my own dream, and I will try again later. But at that point, I was so deep in, and I had a lot of things coming at me. So I want, like, so if I may, I just want to say that, you know, like at one point I knew I needed to start something different and go on my own. And at that point, I listened to an episode on Entrepreneur on Fire. It's another amazing podcast. And I had JLD talking there to a guy named Calvin Wayman. And he wrote a book called Fish Out of Water. So I was very excited hearing Calvin talk about his story coming up as an entrepreneur and, you know, being in debt and everything, and like coming out of debt like with a coach and everything. So I automatically, like, I downloaded the book for Audible and I heard it, and then I reached out to Calvin, and Calvin was like, dude, I can coach you. And then came the problem. The problem was Calvin kind of made me face reality, and it's like in one Skype call of 15 minutes he told me, like, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm not so good. Are you happy right now? Not so much. Are you kind of like, do you know where money's coming from? Do you have a plan? No, I don't. Okay, so you're going to make some hard decisions if you're going to start working with me. And you know what? It's also going to cost you, of course. And, you know, he named his price and it was very, very high for me. And then I talked to my partner and he said, no way. And then I talked to my father and he said, that's too pricey. You're not going to pay so much for someone. You know, does this Calvin dude even have like coaching, some kind of certification? And, you know, he's from the United States, you're from Israel. Like, what does he know about life here? And, you know, and, you know, maybe you can get someone over here, just a local coach to sit with you for an hour every week, you know, a full hour, and just like for almost no money. And they will really help you. And you know what? They don't have to be in your industry. They don't have to be an entrepreneur and have the same ambitions as you. All they need to be a coach. A good coach is just a mirror, right? And I took that advice and I told Calvin, I'm sorry, but no, I'm not, you know, I can't do it.
Oh, you said no.
Half a year then. I said no.
So you had all these external factors. You had your partner, your father, and just the fact that you didn't have the money to get coached, that led you to that decision, right?
Yeah. I just, you know, I didn't have the money. I had some money. Like, it's not that I, like, at that point, as I was saying to myself, it was December 2016, and I was just like, you know, I left my job in July. I wasn't so deep in. And I said to myself, I can get this coach. Maybe I wouldn't have the money next month, but, you know, if I get Calvin now, but then, you know, just, I said to myself, you know, yeah, it's too much money. They're right, you know, and I'll try a local coach. And I did. I told Calvin no. I tried a local coach. We sat down for 1 hour every day, every once a week, and I got nothing out of that. Nothing. And the thing is that my gut feeling was all the time telling me, Sagi, you should have taken, you know, Calvin as a coach. And I did not take Calvin as a coach. And I kind of, like, you know, in my gut feeling, it felt really bad. But in my mind, it's like, Sagi, you're an entrepreneur. Get it together and just, you know, go to your wife and tell her that you're going to now be working way more than ever, just in order for this is just the beginning. You'll make a lot of money, you know, later. Just work right now. And this is a stage where you're going to work, and she needs to kind of, like, you know, rub your back and say, go, honey, go get our money, you know? Mm-hmm. And I actually had an entrepreneur say that to me. And then half a year later, and I'm sorry for skipping, like, you know, like that, but half a year later, I'm finding myself in, I'm finding myself in $28,000 debt, and in another kind of like $10,000 minus at the bank, and with no idea how I'm going to get money for next month, and with the worst possible situation in my marriage. And I remember just walking one day, just like walking my dog downstairs one evening. I'm just walking, and you know, the equations are running in my mind. Like, how am I going to get money for next month? I mean, if I'm just like one more credit card, you know, that comes off, and I'm like a credit card like bill that comes off, and I'm way over my my limit, and I can't even pull any money to feed my kids. And I, you know, I'm saying to myself, just it's too late. I can't even get a normal job right now. It's like too late. I'm totally screwed. And I just, you know, the equations over and over in my mind, and I just can't figure it out. I can't figure out how I'm going to make money and how I'm going to actually, you know, be able to live up to what I said, you know, of being an entrepreneur that left his day job to create an amazing life for himself. And with all the equations and with all that frustration, I just started crying. And it was the first time in my adult life that I cried like that. And I just broke down. And but then, you know, after like, you know, after like crying, I said to myself, okay, like, what are you going to, you know, continue crying? What are you going to do, Sagi? And you're hearing all these podcasts, you know, Pat Flynn's story, you know, those people's stories, and you know what, you're hearing all these great books on Audible with all those amazing minds. Why are you not doing what they're telling you to do? And I said to myself, okay, I'm going to do something. I'm going to pick myself up, and I'm going to, for the first thing, I'm going to call every amazing entrepreneur with very high ambitions that I know was in debt, even at one stage, and I'm going to ask them for advice. Just ask for advice. You know, if they were willing to help me, if they will be willing to help me, I would be forever grateful, and maybe I could get some advice out of that. And so I called up Jason Zook, who's an amazing entrepreneur, also from the San Diego area. He's just like, I interviewed him for my podcast, and I'm in his community. And also I called up Calvin Wayman, and Clark Valberg was the CEO of Envision, an app for designers that I know. And I just like consulted with them on what I can do to, and you know, to get out of the situation. And Calvin, like Jason gave me 1 hour of such an amazing talk. This guy was amazing. And he told me like, listen, you know, you got to follow your gut feeling. This is your time. It's Sagi time. You got to, you know, if you need to leave your partner, leave your partner. You got to do your own thing. Go and do it. And you know what you need to do. Just go. And then Calvin told me, listen, man, I can give you a talk or I can coach you. Now I'm offering this again. Do you want my help? And at this stage, I said, you know, I'm doing it. And I took Calvin as my coach. And it cost me so much money. You know, that I was already in such debt to pay such a huge amount of money, you know, thousands of dollars for, you know, and accept such an offer was pretty crazy by all means. And I just did not consult with anyone at this stage. I just did it because I felt that's what needed to be done. And that's also Calvin's story. Calvin was in debt. He took a coach when he was in debt. And that's what got him out of that situation. So I just said, you know, it's the best thing I could do for myself. And I'm going to do it. And Calvin helped me build my vision and put my vision together and held me accountable. And like, since I started working with Calvin, my business has been so like prospering in a way that, you know, that was about 7 or 8 months ago, like really almost like no time has passed. And here I am talking to you, Pat. I mean, and it's, for me, it's just amazing what happened from that situation. So, and a week after I started working with Calvin, I already crushed my financial goal for 6 months ahead that I put in my vision, like just a week after I started working with him. And you can call it the law of attraction, which I really believe in, but you know, it's like everything together. And I felt that low point that I was at, a lot of people talk about it like rock bottom, but I just saw it just, I really see it as someone phrased it, as a trampoline, and I really believe in that. You can either see your entrepreneurial struggle and worst moment as like a really rock bottom full of rocks and you know, pits, but you can see it also as a trampoline to just like jump back up and fly higher than ever. And ever since, I've been having super like mega success with my businesses, and I've been building a lot of online business and also like a digital course that I launched, and I just made like 28 28K, like the number, like the sum of debt that I was at. I made 28K with a launch of an online course here in Israel, a local design course. And just like with one launch, and that was just recently. And you know, I've been just like lucky enough to also learn from having a coach by my side and investing in a coach. So if anybody out there, you know, is struggling right now and really you know, doesn't know how to continue his way forward, like, people, really get a coach and get someone who's like in your game and that can really help you. Like, get an entrepreneur, like someone who's done it. And ever since, I invested in just coaching, and that's how I got to you, Pat.
Yeah, dude, I have a lot of questions, if you don't mind me kind of asking, because this is, I mean, an incredible turnaround, obviously, and it almost seemed to happen almost overnight. I'm curious, going back to Calvin, what attracted you to Calvin and his style of coaching? What did you expect, or how did you know that he was the right one?
Oh, man, I mean... for me, you know, coming from Israel, I was just like, you know, seeing someone succeed on that level, you know, being interviewed on Johnny Dumas's podcast. And so for me, that's already credibility, right? And then after that, reading his book, and his book is amazing, really, really good book about, like, you know, the entrepreneurial struggle and how you can get out of it. And amazing, like, it's an amazing personal development and business book. After reading Fish Out of Water, I said, you know, he's talking about getting a coach, and I don't know anyone here in Israel who's like having my kind of ambitions, because here in Israel, like, it's startup nation, like I said, it's like everybody's like, I have an idea, I'll go get some money from, you know, an investor and create a startup, and that's not what I want to do. I wanted to create just like a passive, a smart passive income life, right? And Calvin already was crushing it, and he was he was just like 2 years ahead of me in a way, because 2 years ago he was in debt, and now he's debt free. And I think he's debt free for 2 years now. But you know, he crushed his goals. He built an online business. He's now giving keynote speeches all across the U.S. And he's having coaching clients, you know, like me, like all over, across seas, so overseas. So someone like that, I really wanted to work with, because it's kind of like the same aspirations I have. I want to build an online business. I want to coach people. I want to help people. I want to have a community around me. And so that's what really attracted me to Calvin.
What was, when you started working with him, the biggest breakthrough? How was he able to, you know, I'm sure he has his own proprietary sort of, you know, methods for things. But, you know, in your eyes... And in your mind, what was the biggest thing that was holding you back before that Calvin was able to, and your coach was able to, open your eyes up to?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, I think that I see myself, and I guess a lot of the people listening right now are seeing themselves as rockets, you know, just like shooting rockets. And really going fast, right? We're entrepreneurs. We love to go fast, you know, and work hard and hustle. And you know, sometimes that rocket, it needs a little guidance, just like a little left, a little to the right, right, in order to hit the target. And I saw Calvin as that guidance. And then later on, you know, and he helped me build my vision and be accountable for what I said I want to do. So when you have somebody accountable for you, you know, nobody will actually do it for free, right? I mean, busy people like Calvin and like yourself, like anybody, right? If you're busy, you're not just going to have some random Israeli dude come up to you and, you know, not any regular dude come up to you and you're like, yeah, can I have some help and guidance and, like, you know, a weekly, you know, Skype session with you? And you'll be like, of course, why not? I will help you. You know, it just doesn't work that way. You have to pay for those kind of things. And these things cost a lot of money. But, you know, there's someone there really caring about you. And Calvin really cared for me to succeed. And he helped me build my vision. And that's something that I'll talk about in like later on, but he helped me build a vision map and then reap goals from that, monthly goals, and then from that, weekly goals. And then on our weekly sessions, we just went over my weekly goals, and he was like holding me accountable. He was like, did you do that? And I'm like, no. And he's like, why? You know, and then I had to give an answer, because if you do it for yourself, you can, but it's really hard, right? So just like the accountability part on his end. And the second thing is, motivation, because we entrepreneurs, we see a lot of ups and downs. And even though I started crushing it with my goals, I had a lot of sessions with Calvin where I was like, Calvin, dude, like, I feel so bad. I haven't done anything. Like, I wasn't productive this week. I wasn't productive. I feel bad. You know, I didn't get my goals the way I wanted to, like, accomplished. And he was like, dude, like, listen up. This is a game. You know, you're in it. And it really kind of, like, picked me up every time. And so motivation is also, I see it as very, very important, because that's our fuel. We need the fuel.
Yeah, no, that's key. What did you do to generate that income so quickly after you started working with Calvin? I mean, you said that you were, you know, so many dollars in debt, and then just, you know, I don't know how much time, but very shortly after that was able to make up for that. I mean, that seems incredible. What did you do specifically?
So on one hand, I also, I'll just add to that, that 2 months after I started working with Calvin, I got a nice letter from the Israeli authorities, kind of like not IRS, but like the tax, what do you have there? Like,
The internal, the
tax,
The tax collectors, right? Or internal revenue service.
It's like, so, I got a nice letter from them saying I owe them another kind of like $15,000, and I'm translating from shekels, but basically that was a huge blow for me again. But at that point I was already like really crushing my goals. So I'm like, you know what? I know that I'm going to get out of that, and I'm going to, you know, okay, fine, edit, like, bring it on, you know? So in terms of, the first thing I did is get clients. It was what I knew I need to do, because for me, that was, I had a psychological barrier in a way that I left my day job not to work with clients and not to work on anybody else's dream, but build my dream. And Calvin really flipped that on me. He's like, dude, what's your dream right now? Really right now. Don't talk to me about stuff you thought about a year ago. What now is your dream? Like, you know, one of my dreams right now, what I want to do is get out of debt, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, great. So what do you need to do to get out of debt? I'm like, okay, get a client is part of it. Great. So stop whining. And that's in your goals. And that's in your vision. And that will help you achieve your dream. Get a client. And I said, right. You know, so instead of worrying about it and kind of whining about getting a client, or like thinking that's, you know, something I really kind of like letting myself down by doing, I was like, no, that's what I need to do. And that's part of me achieving my goals. And I just got, I just started reaching out to clients. I already was reaching out to clients, but everybody said no anyway. I was kind of overqualified by that stage to work with a lot of businesses as an external person. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I started working with Calvin, something opened up, really. I really see the law of attraction as something that's really important, because I was very specific with the universe in what I wanted. I was saying, I'm getting a client. And week after we started working together, like 1 week, I nailed like 2 clients that wanted to start working with me at a sum that I never would have expected to ask for just like 2 weeks before. And for me, that was really, really impressive. Like, you know, just like, what? Did I just do that? And I had to take only 1 client because I didn't have enough time in the week. But so 3 days a week, I started working with a client. And 2 days a week, I started working on something else, which was launching a physical class of designers here in Israel, which is because I had my community, my Pixel Perfect community here in Israel. So in my small niche of design here in Israel, I told you that, like, I people know me in a way. So if I go to conferences, I was asked for selfies already and stuff. So it's like people know me because I have a podcast here in Hebrew, and I have the blog, and I have a weekly newsletter, and I ran events. So in that niche, people know me, and I said I'm gonna make a product for those people. And what product should I make? I decided on a physical class. So I partnered up with this design college in Tel Aviv, and we decided to launch this class. I was working for 4 months like crazy, promoting it, like building the program, building the landing page, you know, everything needed in order to pre-launch this design course. And there are already competitors like out there that, you know, saying Sagi doesn't know how to teach, you know, and like, but I made a lot of phone calls. I listened to Grant Cardone's Sell or Be Sold book while I was doing it, and it really helped me out. I was just like, I was really doing the work promoting this course and building it up. And I nailed it. I managed to fill out in 4 months a full class. And that was a large sum of, you know, of money, you know, for me as well. It's the first time getting so much money.
That's awesome. How many people were there?
22 people. That's a full class. So 22 people. And when I did that, you know, in order to crush that, like 2 weeks before the class was opened already, I was in less than half of the people in my class. And I needed to sell the rest of the tickets, like 11 seats. Mm-hmm. And Calvin told me, like, Sagi, you're focusing on a lot of other different stuff. It's nice, but now you know what you need to do. Just go out and sell. And you know what? As a motivation boost, just think that if you fill out the whole class, put yourself something you want to buy for yourself and do it. And the thing I put in my mind is I want to fly out to Grant Cardone's 10X conference in Las Vegas. And you know, just be there. And he said, fine, do it. And as soon as I filled in, like less than 2 weeks, and it was even holiday season, and I filled out the class, 22 people, full class. As soon as this last person just joined, I hopped on the online and just bought my ticket to Grant Cardone's conference. And later on, Calvin told me, listen, like there's also social media marketing world, just like exactly around that time in San Diego. Why didn't you come? And I'm like, what? For sure. Who's speaking there? Pat Flynn. I'm like, what? I'm there. So that's how I got to the US.
That's cool. I think it is really clear that it's the focus and the motivation that really helped you. And, you know, some people are good at, you know, finding that on their own, and other people need some outside external help. I get the same kind of help from my mastermind groups and you know, virtual coaches and things like that as well. So, I mean, well done, man. Way to get out of that hole. But like you said, I like that description of the sort of dip as more of a trampoline, because that's oftentimes when you are, like, if you look at a lot of successful entrepreneurs and their graph of income, their graph of success, you know, the highest times are usually right after the lowest times. And yeah, it's just really interesting. And I love that you got very honest with us in that story and told us kind of how much in debt you were. And so now you're flying out and seeing Grant, and then you saw me and JLD and a few other people at Social Media Marketing World. And here we are today on a podcast. And, you know, I'd love to shift gears. But before that, you had mentioned something about, and you'd said this a few times, you know, a vision map. Can you define what that is? And, you know, I know you also have this amazing community of people who you're helping with, you know, helping them crush their goals if they're feeling kind of in a similar way that you were. Could you talk about that really quick before we move on to the design sort of phase of this podcast episode?
Sure. Thanks so much. For asking about that, like, so my vision map is something that I keep and I update every week. And it's just a spreadsheet, a Google spreadsheet that is divided by a 6-month vision and then a monthly goals by that ripped out to just kind of like get me closer to my 6-month vision. And from the monthly goals, I rip out weekly goals and like weekly tests, and then I hold myself accountable to those, and also like my coaches hold me accountable to those. Mm-hmm. But this, like, there's a specific way to build that vision. And what I do is I have a Facebook group called Mindful and Rootless. And that's a Facebook group I opened after I got out of my worst situation. I wouldn't say, by the way, I'm out of debt right now, because there's smarter ways to get out of debt by just like paying it all at once. But anyways, that's not for now. But in terms of... what I did is this. I wrote myself a check back in June for 100,000 Israeli shekels, which is something like 28K, which was the amount I was in debt in. And I wrote myself a check for that. I said, if I get a month of earning that, that would be like that was my 6-month vision back then in terms of just like the financial side, although I have all my family life and everything structured there. Mm-hmm. So I wrote that check for myself and wrote it to the 1st of the 1st, 2018. And that was kind of like in May or June, like 2017. And at the 2nd of January, 2018, like my wife was going over my invoices for the previous month of December, and she was like, I think we have like some kind of bug. It says that you had like 1,800 Israeli shekels. And I'm like, 100,800. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I just passed my 100,000 Israeli shekels month. I'm looking at the check, and the check says the 1st of the 1st, 2018. Like, dude, that's the law of attraction right there, you know? And I said, I gotta help other people. I gotta find a way to kind of like get more people and help them launch their own things. And I gotta create a community around entrepreneurship and around, around like-minded doers. So that's when I decided I'm actually going to go for the community called Mindful and Ruthless. Around that same time, I've been into a Vipassana retreat, also looking for my values, and it just came up, you know, like on one hand, I'm mindful of every moment and trying to really live my life in the best possible way. And I'm mindful of my family now. Now my marriage is, you know, better than ever. And that vision spreadsheet that I'm talking about, I'm building what I call the full stack life in. And so I'm mindful about it, but I'm also ruthless with my gut feeling. And I think that anybody who's an entrepreneur needs to be both of those things. So I opened a Facebook group called Mindful and Ruthless. And with those people over there, there's like a community of entrepreneurs. It's very small. It's not big, at least not at the moment. It's like 300 people, I think, or so. But I share my journey, and I share it, you know, I shared from the moment, you know, it was like January when I just like was at the beginning of my first online course and teaching, and I shared all the way up to, you know, the night I met you. I was like on the way to your event. I'm like, oh my God, I'm on the way to an event with Pat Flynn. Like, I'm so excited. I was filming stuff on the streets of San Diego, just walking, you know, with the camera, doing Facebook Live with that group. And then I met you, and we had a Facebook Live for the group that same night, a couple hours later. Mm-hmm. And so it was like really, it was like I'm documenting my journey there, and I'm also now giving them my tools for my success. So anybody that is hearing this, if you guys want to join, you know, Mindful and Ruthless on Facebook, and as soon as you join, you get a 3-part video series that I created, like totally free, with actually at the end you're getting the spreadsheet itself, and the 3-part video series will help you build your vision, your 6-month vision, and help you out to work with the spreadsheet in order to really crush your goals and really, you know,
That's awesome. I haven't heard of like a spreadsheet version of a vision map, because we usually hear these things called vision boards where you can, you know, place images and visualizations, and you know that taps into a lot of people's emotional sides of, you know, why they're doing what they're doing and kind of their gut. But then also, you know, I like what you're doing too, because it's kind of more logical. It's like broken down, and you can actually see, okay, well, here's my goal and here's what I need to do next. And I like that. So if we'll put a link in the show notes to Mindful and Ruthless. Thank you for that. And thank you for creating that community. I think it's going to help a lot of people for sure. And it'll be interesting to see, the spreadsheet and kind of how you lay that out, because that obviously had a big effect on you. So that's fantastic. Thank you. Now, I'd love to spend just the rest of this conversation here talking about design. You know, a lot of people, I mean, this is what your expertise is. You are considered a full stack designer. Can you define what that is? This is a term that I only recently even understood. What does it mean to be a full stack designer, which is what you are?
All right. So, so a full stack designer, it comes from basically I think it started as a development term in startups, like calling someone a full stack developer. And, that means that person knows a couple code languages, not just like one language of code. And therefore, that person can really create like different applications and different native codes. So, you know, a full stack developer is that developer. But then came the term full stack designer, also known as product designer in the Silicon Valley area. And, it's a digital product designer, but it's called just product designer. Facebook started that term, I think, in 2012 or so. And that means a designer that works in startups, you know, we have to know a lot of different things. We have to know about marketing really well. We have to know about business needs. We have to know about user experience and psychology. And we often have to also have the craft of really designing pixel perfect designs and creating emotions with our designs. We just have to know so many different fields of works, and some of us even know how to code. Like I know how to mark up like in HTML, CSS, WordPress, a bit of PHP and stuff. So all those skills are just considered like a full stack designer if you know them. And the way I see it is kind of like MMA fighters, just because, you know, they know all these martial arts and they're the best in the ring. So whenever a designer knows all these skills, it's just like to his advantage in the market.
Yeah, that's good. And the reason why I wanted to define that was because a lot of times we work with and hire designers, but they make things look great, but not necessarily work great well. Because yeah. There's a lot more, like you said, everything from SEO to, you know, conversions and sales and marketing, like you said. So it's great that you have all that experience. And I just want to kind of dive into, you know, today, you know, things are changing all the time. But today, as people are listening to this, like what are some of the most important things to consider when it comes to the design of their website? Let's even start on the homepage, because we all who are listening who have a business have a homepage. How can we maximize our results there? What's the approach that you take when working with a client who's like, I just want a great website? How do you walk them through that?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, I'll just mention that, there's core principles that make any design great, even if you already have a website. And probably most people already, like, you know, that are listening to this already have some kind of website up. Mm-hmm. So there are core principles that you can take even to improve your own design all the time. But in terms of like the process that, if you want to build your homepage, first you have to understand your users. It goes into marketing, right? That's the marketing part. Understand your users, create a user journey map, understand what situation they're in. It's called jobs to be done. What is the situation the person that is in your website is in your website for? What will he hire your homepage to do for him, if he could? Right? So that's something that we all have to ask ourselves. Second part is you need to make sure the website is emotionally appealing, because if it's not emotional, there, you know, you're missing out on connecting the user or the, you know, the person, let's call it people, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're people, they're not users. I hate using that word, but so you're missing out on connecting that person to you as a brand. I mean, I think, by the way, I love what you did with your website, that you have your image, you know, and it's like you have your signature there, and it's just like, you know, it's clean. Mm-hmm. And then people can connect to that, right? It's authentic. You need to be authentic, and you need to also have those principles in place that that I will share in a second. But you know, like, there's in terms of the emotional connection, again, going back to design principles, there's a couple things that make any design stand out and great, whether it's a homepage, it's a banner, maybe it's like a poster, a presentation, even, you know, a keynote speech. Mm-hmm. So the things are, the way I see it at least, are made up of typography, grid, contrast, colors, okay, and composition. So
what were
those are
again?
The factors.
I got typography, which is, you know, the text, yeah. And such.
Typography, yeah, is a text. Grid, which is how the layout of everything goes by, and mm-hmm. the rules that your mind sees inside, like the structure and the system. So that's a grid. And then you have contrast. It's very, very important, like the contrast between elements, between all kinds of things. I mean, it's a lot of rules inside of that, but just like contrast. Colors, like the choice of colors that you use. Mm-hmm. There are specific rules of what colors to choose, how many colors should you use, when should you use specific colors. And then you have also composition, which composition is one of the most important things that nobody even knows about that exists as a word. but it's something that's so important. And I can share like a few tips if you want, like, so for the audience.
Yeah, I mean, most of the audience is using WordPress and plugins and has themes that are limited in our ability. I mean, WordPress obviously gives us the ability to customize it however we want, but typically there's a certain point where we can only do so much as the business owner, and then we have to hand things off to a developer. So I guess, you know, also consider, Sagi, like when people are choosing the themes that they want to use on their website, or like how do we know what design is best? I think going into composition can help, because we can rearrange a few things here and there. So what does that principle mean exactly? And how can we, as sort of beginner level designers, you know, take advantage of that?
All right. Sure. So, I just want to say, you know, I just launched a course for that exactly. And that, you know, I teach those principles for people who are not, you know, designers. And I think that now with WordPress having Elementor, have you heard of Elementor?
Mm-mm.
Are you using it?
No, I don't know.
So Elementor is, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, it's like Elementor. It's also an Israeli company. It's so what they did is they created a drag and drop editor for any page or post on your website. And therefore, you can create any layout that you wish with, so like, it's so easy nowadays to grab a design together and then have that design implemented as, you know, HTML, like a regular inside a WordPress website. And that's how I built, by the way, the landing page for my course here in Israel. And now that I've translated it into English, and you know, it's like how I built it as well. It's just like Elementor, and it gives you everything you need to have the most, like, you know, like a pro, really, like design tools, and you know, be in full control of the layout. So first of all, you have Elementor, which is an amazing plugin. I think like the pro version is like something like $50, like super cool.
And they have a free version as well, right?
Yeah, it's a WordPress plugin.
Okay.
Yeah, it started out as something different. I don't remember exactly the name, but it was like the drag and drop editor for posts, and then they made it just like something that can go together with the website. If any of you right now are contemplating on which and which kind of like theme to choose, right now, as of 2018, I think Ocean WP is like a free theme that you can use in an amazing way with Elementor. And then those two work together so well that you can create like almost any layout and everything looks great, even if you don't touch it. But if you do touch it and you do like mess around, you can create amazing landing pages, like all kind of like, you know, custom pages. And it's super, super, super easy. I mean, I've dealt with a lot of different drag and drop editors, including, by the way, lead pages, which is great as well. And for WordPress, I, you know, using Elementor has just been massive for me, just because the user experience there is so easy. And for me, I know how to code, but it was easier for me to create it just there in drag and drop editor and create all my designs.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good resource. Thank you.
Yeah. And so the composition thing is, so composition is like the way things are laid out together, because in any website you have a lot of elements, right? I mean, you probably have your image, you have your text, you have your little podcast widget, which is combined of different areas, right? Mm-hmm. Of different kind of texts and headings, and then you have your top menu on your website. I'm just like giving your website as an example, right? You have the menu, and you have so you have all these elements, and how do you put them together? That's composition. So you can create an amazing composition by just thinking about one rule. The rule to an amazing composition is, and that's like the secret of the problem, right? So it's so simple. It's one huge element, a lot of middle elements, and just a few micro, super small elements. So if you keep that rule and always have that one huge element, a couple of really, really, really small elements, and all those middle elements on the page, then your design will just come to life and really stand out. And you can see it in any, almost any design, really. If any of you have a website, just go to your website right now, open it up and say, you probably already have the big element, right, Pat? In your case, it's your image, right? So, like, it's something that you have that big element, but you also have the widget for the podcast. But anyways, you can take any big element on the website and just make it and specific layout and enlarge it, and then have a couple small elements. Usually those small elements on a web page are kind of like the Facebook icons, the Twitter icons, like social icons are great for small elements. And then you can create a great composition just by having that contrast on the page. So that's one part of like what makes an amazing composition. That's the biggest part.
Cool. No, that's great. I mean, I know we could go super deep into this. And, you know, if people who want to go deeper can definitely check out your course, designprinciples.co/Pat is where you go, because I think you mentioned before we started recording, you wanted to give a few things away for free and, you know, give people a deal and stuff. We'll get, I'll have you explain that in just a minute.
Okay,
but the final thing I want to talk about is the importance of not just the design and the composition, but the marketing. So how would you, as a designer with marketing expertise, you know, coach us really quickly and to making sure that what we put out there is actually helping us in our business too?
Yeah, sure. So the marketing part comes in terms of like in conversions, right? So you have always the thing that you want to convert people to on your page. There's the main conversion point and there's the secondary conversion points. At least that's the way I see it, usually on any web page.
Okay.
If you're in an application, there's also conversion points in a way. It's like engagement points more than conversion points. But basically, on Facebook, people want you, they want you to like, right? And comment. They want you to engage with any post. That's why they enlarge the like and comment buttons and created the space between them and the separators above and below smaller than the actual than the rest of the spaces on the whole entire layout of the page. Just it's something that that you can notice. And also when we create a landing page or anything like that, we need to make sure one that in terms of the CTA, the call to action button, that it stands out more than anything. So how can it stand out? One, color. If you have a specific color that's different than all the rest of your designs, just do it in that color. Meaning, I see a lot of designs that are green and then the main button is green, right? And that's wrong. You should have the main button a different color, a color that really you can't not see. Second thing is spacing and white space around it. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you have a button and it's tied with all those other things around it, if it's it doesn't have white space, then it won't get clicked a lot. If it does have white space, all of a sudden, the focus is on that area. Like just like, you know, more padding to the top and to the bottom. And then you'll see that it just like it stands out more.
Mm-hmm.
And also, again, like leading in terms of composition, leading the eye of the person who's looking to that button. So that's like just a couple of things. I know that it even might sound a bit trivial to, like, you know, everybody is hearing this and our marketing pro, they're like, well, we know this, like, come on, Sagi. But I mean, a few tweaks on that. And so there's something easy for any of you to do, like any of you listening right now, to do with your websites. In order to make sure that you have that rule of spacing between elements, in order to create that contrast on purpose, okay? So that's something called the rule of fours. Just like space everything with four, like with level 4 pixel increments. So meaning like if you have a button and usually all elements are spaced, let's say 72 pixels away from each other, right? Then you can create this button spaced out 144 pixels away from any other element on the page. And then it just like, it creates a situation where, you know, scientifically, right? It's just like a formula. Then there's a set of rules that the eye of the holder sees as still kind of like, it's not all over the place. It's really like set by a set of rules. The whole page and layout is designed by a set of rules. And therefore, it's very easy to kind of like notice that button. And that's only for a button, right? But there's other rules, like legibility and typography, placing items on the grid. Sometimes if you align everything on a specific grid, like you align the button to the text and everything, if you push the button just like a few pixels off, then it will be noticed. You know, people don't notice that you did that on purpose, but they notice the button.
That's crazy. Now you're getting into like this ninja stuff that, you know, is kind of why you're the person who teaches others and coaches other people. But man, we could go all day with this for sure. But thank you, Sagi, for sharing all those, you know, tips with us. And, you know, I know you have a lot more in your course. Talk about your course really quick. I know it's helped a lot of people in Israel, and you've just kind of now turned it into English as well. Designprinciples.co/Pat. What can people expect when they get there?
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to really give something of massive value to anybody who's listening here. And the course itself, it costs, you know, leave that aside. I wanted to just give you a massive, massive, massive value. So one thing, I'm going to give 50% off for anybody who's coming through this podcast. Well, and your audience. So 50% off, you can go to designprinciples.co/Pat and you'll be able to purchase it for 50% off. The second thing is, I would love to help you all as much as I can. I probably won't be able to help all of you. Here in Israel, I had just in one pre-launch, over 200 people purchased that course. So I just can't help anyone with their own websites and stuff like that, like, you know, on a personal level. It's just too much. But I do want to have a webinar with you guys. And so I'm offering a 3-hour, in terms of the way I see it, webinar that I'll be here for you guys answering your questions. If you're into design and you want to better your design, you want to know how to communicate better with your designers and developers, and you really want to learn the secrets to creating a design that stands out, that creates emotional connection, that's the most important thing. We use those things to create emotional connections between people and your brand, then I'm here to help you and answer all your questions and maybe even go a little deeper on some of those topics. So that's the course. The course consists of those modules and also has a couple more very nice bonus modules like Elementor, like I said, and playing around with WordPress and Elementor and all kinds of like amazing bonuses that I created just for people that are interested. So yeah, have 50% off and a private webinar to your audience, Pat.
Cool. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. We'll put all the links in the show notes, obviously. But to get into all what Sagi just mentioned, just go to designprinciples.co/Pat. And again, thank you for that, Sagi. Hey, man, thank you so much for sharing your story and being authentic and honest here and also offering some tips too. Where can people go to find out more about you?
Sure. Thanks so much, Pat. Like, really, I just want to say, like, to anybody listening here, you know, I would never imagined I would be on this podcast. Just, you know, it wasn't in my even wildest dreams, because I've been following this podcast for over 3 years. So you can say maybe I'm a Pat Flynn success story. People can find me. If you guys want to connect, feel free to connect on Facebook, Instagram, of course. And just, you know, Mindful and Ruthless, it's where I hang out. Or you can visit my own website, which is sagishriver.com. But it's probably hard to pronounce. So just find me on Facebook and Mindful and Ruthless group.
Yeah. And I'll give you the show notes link, the show note links after as well. So, hey, guys, cool. Thank you so much. And Sagi, you're awesome. Hang tight, everybody. I got some a few more announcements, but hey, man, take care. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks so much, Pat. Really, really appreciate it. Bye, everybody.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Sagi Schreiber. That link one more time for his course, if you're interested in that, is designprinciples.co/Pat. And very kind of you to give 50% off for those of you who are interested in design principles. And whether you are a designer yourself or you're not, or you have a team, this could be a good way for you to just start getting some better results with the design of your website. And again, thank you for all of you for sticking around. I also want to just mention and re-mention, I can't mention this enough, thank you so much to everybody who's left a review for the Smart Passive Income podcast. I mean, those things matter so much to help a person who finds the show, just convince them whether or not this is actually worth their time or not. And if it is something that you enjoy, if you haven't yet done so, just a few seconds to leave a review on iTunes would be extremely, extremely helpful. Thank you so much. And of course, if you haven't subscribed to the show already, please do that. You can check out the show notes for this show and all the links and everything we mentioned today and more info about Sagi there. You can find it at smartpassiveincome.com/session326. Again, smartpassiveincome.com/session326. And then finally, I just want to say thank you. You guys are amazing. You know, I've been getting a lot of people asking me about my online courses and how I did them. You know, I don't have a course on how to create online courses yet. I work with David Simon Garland to teach people a few times a year on that. And we have webinars coming up later in the year. So I'll mention those later on. But a lot of people ask me what platforms I use to serve my courses. And it just makes it really simple when you have an all-in-one platform where you can literally just drag and drop videos in and just text and workbooks and, you know, anything you want to include in there for people to download. I host all my online courses on Teachable. You've probably heard me talk about it before. Maybe you even might remember an interview I did a while back with Ankur, the CEO of the company, teaching you how to keep your students going all the way through your course. And the platform is really important with that. So if you'd like to try the platform and get some free goodies to go along with it, you can try it out. If you go to teachable.com/Pat, that'll be a good link for you to go through just to kind of check out more about the platform and it's in the system. That is an affiliate link. This is not a sponsorship, but that is my affiliate link. And you also get some free goodies if you go through that link as well. If you are interested in building online courses on the same platform I do, which I love just because it's really simple. And plus, when you have multiple courses, just one login for everybody for all those courses. I can't say enough about it. I'm also an advisor for the company as well. But again, if you want to check it out, teachable.com/Pat, that's where you go. Thanks so much again. I appreciate you for listening in and I look forward to serving you next week. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. And guys, keep crushing it. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I highly recommend Problem Solvers, hosted by Jason Pfeiffer, who's been on the show a few times, actually. As you probably heard in the credits, both our shows are on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On Problem Solvers, Entrepreneur's editor-in-chief tells the stories of real founders that solved real problems in their businesses, helping listeners get through any obstacles in their own ventures. And each episode is really distinct and easy to follow, and they're bite-sized too, usually around 15 to 20 minutes. And Jason pulls each story out himself so you can avoid the same crippling problems. Matt and I were recently on the show in episode 302, and Jason recently hosted a great episode on whether anyone could be too quote-unquote curious for a traditional career. Listen to Problem Solvers right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.